Well, hopefully he had the right link this time.
Who knows? There's nothing in the chat that says we're having a meeting today, but there's nothing that says we're not, meaning in the Slack channel.
Hey everyone. Maura said that she's going to be a little late for today, so I'm going to run the beginning of the meeting. Our agenda really has only one thing on it, and that is Scott Peterson. Welcome. We'll be giving a presentation on how Mobius has been doing their Eureka migration. So this is at the five colleges where I am. We are in testing ahead of our Eureka migration. And so I'm definitely excited to learn how things are going for you. Do we have, oh yeah, Scott.
Do we want to wait for Maura and or just decide who'd be taking notes first?
Yeah, so I was gonna say, if we can, is there someone who could take some notes today?
Sure, I'll take some notes.
Awesome. Thank you, Steve. And I think maybe let's give it a few more minutes. Maybe till 5, just to see if some other folks show up, and then we can jump into the presentation. All right. I think we have as many people as we're gonna get for today. And I believe Maura will pop in a little later. But yeah, I think Scott, if you want to get started, you can take it away.
Sure. Welcome, everyone. My name is Scott Peterson. I'm a systems librarian at Mobius, which is a library consortium in Missouri, consisting of 62 libraries on one Folio platform. It is an ECS tenant platform, which means we have a central tenant, and each library is a subtenant below it that we can access directly. This does make some management things easier, but we also have a lot of replication of what we're doing. It's a pretty large consortium. We are currently in the process of migrating to Sunflower, where we're actually doing our dry run right now. But we have a staging server that I've been working on, and there's also some other documentation I worked on. So I'll probably start off with showing what your experience may look like after migrating, and then a bit of detail about how we're trying to come up with our new permission sets, or sorry, authorization roles. I'll probably use it interchangeably because it's new terminology. And then just kind of how we got to where we are with those. So let me go ahead and share my screen. Okay. Well, you should see now this is our staging server. And this was migrated back in November. And so show the experience you might get when you go over to Eureka and Sunflower from an earlier platform, such as Ramsons with a copy. What happens is your copy permission sets are migrated into Eureka roles. That does make your life easier because you don't have to reinvent the wheel. And for the most part, the experience users have will be about the same. If you have named permission sets, those migrate over, as you can see here. These are ones we had named on our server we were using before. We also notice up here we have a lot that are basically hash numbers. How these are ones that don't have a specific name or that the migration script saw as a different type of role, so it made a separate one for it. When this migration happened, it seemed to be if people had more than one permission set. On our current dry run, it seems to be okay with multiple permission sets, but somebody had individual permissions added. It says, okay, this is a different type of authorization this person has, so it's making a new role for it. And so there will be some cleanup work after you do them. This particular one I looked at is a system assigned set. And so cleanup is going to be, we're looking at as a longer process. Our approach is initially after we migrate, if it's not broke, don't fix it. The two permission sets that a user would probably need if they're doing administrative work would be to look at and manage the roles and policies that are new to Sunflower. Those should be in there if you're using the admin permission set from EBSCO. Or if you have some higher level permissions that I think on our side, we're seeing them already showing up in the dry run. But people who have custom made permissions, they may need to have those added in. Otherwise, in large part, you can go ahead and proceed with your work. This is helpful just to get into the new system, get used to how Sunflower works differently. Roles and policies are the two new things. A role is basically taking the current permissions, breaking them up by an application that they belong to. You can assign individual applications, and then you can go ahead and assign the permissions within those applications. I'll look at those within just a moment. But the cleanup process would be just deciding which of these you still need, which should be renamed. If a user is happy with the role, you could take the current one here that's named with the hashtag and rename it and use it after that. So this is where migrating is a bit easier for people. You don't have to go through and basically create everything from scratch all over again with a new system you're not familiar with. Now I'll switch over into the stage into one of the snapshot servers. So policies are not in use yet. They'll probably become effective with Umbrella Leaf. They're mainly to regulate how and when the roles work. Most I've heard about hours. You see here's one labeled business hours. This is because since Folio is web-based, you can access it anytime, anywhere. It can restrict some users to only be able to work during assigned work hours. That can be useful for student workers, could have other purposes. If there's additional policies beyond that, I'm not sure what they would involve yet, but there's no real features here to edit or add. Authorization roles. You see here, these are all named, and they're not showing you the migration hashtags because this snapshot is redone every night. But you kind of see how they're set up in that way. The complexity comes in just how it's done differently is a different way of thinking. So I'll start with making a new one. And the first thing you see, you can select an application. And they have more applications on this server than we have on ours. A lot of our work has been basically what we're going to work with directly. So we don't have the image connection. I don't think we have the Gobi connection. Most of these you can follow by the names they have, LinkData, EBSCOnet, Gobi. The platform minimal and platform complete and acquisitions are three important ones. And let me see. Okay. Okay, it's a little strange there. I think it's because it's still the snapshot server. Okay, we'll go to the other one. So here's what is our snap on our staging server. So platform complete is most everything you would need. Platform minimal looks like it's mainly for like a system user, like a machine login, but it seems to have a lot of functions people use. And then acquisitions is separate because it came later. So I save and close those. Okay, so you have capability sets and capabilities. I've opened these up. You see on the left is the name of the application. If I scroll down, and I know I'm going fast, but I'll stop when there's a change. This is where the acquisitions app ends, platform complete starts. The way to think of these is capability sets are permissions, capabilities are sub permissions. These were no copy. For the most part, you didn't see the sub permissions. There was a way we pull them up on API, and this is helpful to know if you're custom creating permission set and you get a strange error saying, I can't find this feature, can't find this permission to do this work. There's like an error message you see. This helps diagnose what you're looking for. With both capability sets, and in the capabilities are three groups of data, settings, and procedure. And basically, they mean the ability to manipulate or work with data. For instance, here, like changing the calendar, working with circulation. Here are settings that you change, more administrative work. And the procedural, direct functions you're doing. For instance, to approve an invoice, cancel it, let me scroll down further, market inventory and process, and so on. So this can be useful if you want to very fine-tune your permissions. For instance, if you have someone not be able to execute an invoice, be able to view it, things of that nature. You'll also see across the top here are these check boxes for view, edit, create, delete, and manage. Manage means you can do everything with it. View, of course, means only view it. Edit, you can change it, but you can't create it or delete. And not all these are checked. If there's a box here, there's an option. If there is not, you only have this option here, for instance, to manage. And this is because how the roles are set up, how the processes work. So if you have someone who's largely view only, you can check everything here. Or if you want them to manage everything, you can check it here. That, of course, is not the best way to do things. Because maybe other things you like to see, like you'd be able to view receiving, view circulation, internal items. But an important thing to note is, in large part, if you check something in the capability set, it should go and select them automatically here in the capabilities, as these are sub permissions. If you do see one that's empty, and you need it to have as part of an error message, or you know you like have that function, you can individually add it. But largely, these are separate. And it helps that these are kind of named by what they do. So it does give you an idea what, I'm sorry, I'm looking here, calendar, circulation, renew. So you know what we'd like to have the user do. However, what is a problem is that these are in tables. And scroll up and down to find where they are. and to try and locate things. So what we did is one of our IT staff came up with a small JavaScript that let us take these tables and export them. I decided it wouldn't be a good idea to share it because it's an ad hoc creation they did that's internal. If I shared it, there might be security concerns some places would have. I can see if maybe importing them into Excel might work. And these are also the roles we see on our server. So I created this here. And this is kind of like a general FYI help table. So I'm sorry, let me scroll back up again. So when I exported these, they came out as a CSV file and poured them into Google Docs and created a table with them. So I look at the acquisitions setting here. These show the available options. The rest of these are just blank if it can't be done. And again, data, settings, procedure. So this can be helpful if someone downloads this as an Excel document and they say, I want to check and see if I can do this or not. I'm not logged into Google Docs, but these, I think they call them chiplets here, can be turned to true or false. So it helps you map out when you're doing permission set. However, you can't import it into Sunflower. You have to go back and say, okay, on this line, I want this as a false, and this to go here as a false or true. And false means unchecked. True means it's checked. But this shows the individual applications that we have. And again, capably said, some don't have everything, like this one here for Consortium Manager, only has data and procedure. Below that are the capabilities, the sub permissions. This here kind of just shows how the role structures look. And how they appear as screenshots. And this is enormously complex. So again, if you're migrating, it's simpler to take what you already have, use it as a baseline. If you have some authorization roles you're very happy with and you need to update with new permissions, that'd probably be the best way to go. We were looking at a different approach here with our libraries. So we were trying to come up with a better scheme that might help. Because we had, go back to where I was, make sure I'm in the right spot. We had roles named by function. So we had a cataloger, acquisitions, and we call a site coordinator, who's basically the manager for the tenant, usually the library director, sometimes a systems person. But it's confusing to the libraries how these worked. A lot of people assume more permission sets, more power. And they assume the site coordinator is only for the site coordinator, but in libraries of likely a couple of people with their many hats, this would be probably be the better role to use. So we're looking at evolving to a different set where you have two permission sets. I know it says four there. I'll explain that in just a moment. We have a standard circ worker and a shadow user. This is shadow user is unique to an ECS environment. Everybody who creates a user in one of the ECS tenants has a shadow user created in the central tenant to work with inventory records. And the shadow user needs permissions to work. But what we're doing is looking at having a power user that can do everything we do in the office except get into consortial work or do something that might cause harm to the system. And a standard user that can do the same but can't change settings. And the approach here is over-provision a user, especially for the smaller libraries. Anything to see they can work on, they can look at. And if they decide they want to have a more restricted user, they can downgrade from there. This, I think, would help with our libraries. This is also optional. Some of the larger libraries, the staff who are very willing to do this type of work, so they create their own permission sets. But for smaller libraries, to help with the roles and management, this is what the approach we took. And bear with me a second because I have Zoom blocking part of the screen here. So what we did, and again, this is internally how we're approaching this is, was we took the EBSCO admin role, and again, we exported with the JavaScript tool. And then I know the changes making from the admin to the power user and then to the standard user. And I realize the names are a little different. So that's one thing I'll make consistent when you get to the actual upgrade. The shadow user is listed, of course. And one second, let me move this out of the way. This is the basic circ worker. And this shows the changes from the admin EBSCO admin logging, which is a power user, is built into every Folio tenant, to the Mobius admin, and then from the Mobius admin, the standard user. And why I have this here is because when we migrate to Sunflower, we can't just say, well, let's copy these new roles I made over from the dry run into the Sunflower environment. We have to create them anew. This is also our taking approach that the first few days, maybe a week or two, we're going to have the server run, make sure things are okay, people are happy how it's running, then roll these out. One advantage we have in an ECS environment is we can centrally manage authorization roles, and the local libraries can't edit them. This is a big help for us if we do want to have a more central control of authorizations for some libraries. We can make changes, migrate them down as needed, especially in future upgrades. And also, it kind of keeps the roles the same for any future proofing that happens. If a library is not happy with one of these, they, of course, can make their own role, but they want to use them, they can. We can help with changes, they migrate. So, this is kind of where we're looking at right now. We are about 2 days into our dry run, looking to do the final migration by February 14th. It's right now, it's not determined when we'll try and make the new roles and migrate them down. So far, with the testing we've done, the users who have the migrated roles from Okapi to Eureka are working pretty well for them. So again, there's not a need to reinvent the wheel. For the most part, you can go and do your work as is. It's mainly a cleanup of the various roles with hashtags that you have to rename, or if you want to delete some. And I would say use caution deleting, make sure it's not being used by a system process or anything of that nature. Go back over here and make sure I'm in the correct server. The applications that are visible on the other servers, and this is the snapshot server, you can see there is probably 29 of them. And we had 16. So there's many more applications exist out there than we were using. And again, some of these are ones we don't use, don't have a need for. And I don't see where I can scroll down with this. Try and get to the bottom. Let me see if this one we do it. Select all of them. So if there is an interest from the people in this group, I could see if we could use the tool to try and make basically spreadsheets of all of these. A concern I have is how useful this will be going into the future, because again, this is kind of daunting how much material is here. And we want to, have something that's more manageable. On the other hand, if we want to make sure we're on top of changes, permissions, small things that we have to keep track of, for instance, if we make a new permission and a sub-permission shows up and I need this there to work, we can find it much easier this way. And I know I'm scrolling down fast. I'm just checking to see what we have here and the other permissions. In reach one is one we don't have. Licenses is one we don't have. And no, we have marked storage. I'm not sure whether the notification one is separate. You can see these are named, so they're also fairly easy to tell what they are. I believe this is a harvester. Of course, here's a platform complete, which again, note is not complete, but it's most everything you need. So that's the best way to think of it. The minimal, which we still would like to have there, most any user you have. Okay, the reading room is one I think came from Swedish libraries, some of our libraries showing interest. I think Library Congress also is interested. This is where you have a book that basically lives in a room, but you check it out in the room and leave it there in the room when you go. This is for like high value, rare materials, but they'd like exclusive access to it for a while. RTAC is real-time access control. That I think is more for a system user. And scrolling down from there. So it's kind of where we are with this right now. Like I said, we're looking at just migrating over with our current migrated permission sets going into authorization roles. After that, we'll make our new permission sets, migrate them to our users, ask them to test them. If they're happy with them, they go for us. This is the option if you don't want to try and create and manage your own authorization roles. So, any questions? Hopefully not everyone's sitting there with glazed eyes from me talking too much.
I think one of the things that we felt very that we see quite often is in smaller libraries, folks who are in control or in charge of those libraries tend to give themselves too many permissions. And one of the scary things, but also one of the attractive things about Folio is that, as you can tell, permissions can be extraordinarily granular. But also, they can, if you give yourself all of the permissions, it is very daunting. So, one of the things that Scott has sort of made it his mission is to, try to simplify this as much as possible and to assist our libraries in sort of guiding them into some general categories of usage. Obviously, folks can do what they want, but at least it gives them a starting point because you can imagine looking at all of the different vagaries and degrees of permissions, it can get overwhelming very quickly.
The complexity of this is considerable, but I think it's a rule of this for most every library system. Even Sierra had, I think, like 400 some odd permissions. I think there might be something useful going forward. I'm not talking next release, but probably a couple of years down the road, is standardizing certain roles. And so if you say I want an acquisitions role, it's already pre-made, the things people don't expect to do. And looking more basically more functional tasks than some of these sub permissions. So if you want to have someone who is an acquisitions person and they do ordering, you check the box for ordering, check the box for invoices, and does all the functions related to that. Some libraries may not want that. So again, probably a power user interface, which might be what this looks like, be better. But for the short, for a longer term, I think a kind of a standard role or standard approach would help many libraries. I'm trying to explain. Let me go over here and let's look at what ERM PCI means, what ERM resources means. Those can be confusing to people. And if you over-provision, you're okay. But if you start being very selective, you may run into a lot of errors or problems saying they can't see this feature, or they can't see things they'd like to use. So again, this is probably where over-provisioning to start. Some of the key things that libraries don't have a concern about would be users changing settings or changing passwords or being able to create users, those key things there. Because some other libraries are perfectly fine with that. Others I know have a different structure. And I think the larger library system is more likely you have more control over fine-tuning what type of roles you want people to use. I can say that after looking at this for a long time, this does have more of a rational approach than the permission sets, because you can kind of tell what they can do and what the limits are. It's just some of the naming. Scroll down a bit here. How these mean, what they use when actually seeing and doing the work is where I see a concern. But the approach is you can just have a role to a person, modify it over time, change, especially unique to that person or to a class of people. Because I go back over here, you can see who it's assigned to and assign or unassign it. It is also possible to make multiple roles per application. That may or may not be the appeal of some libraries. If you want to do like kind of a building block approach and say, well, I want the platform complete and minimal for someone, but I want acquisition separate, and I want to have the Folio query machine, which is list FQM, that would be separate. You can do that. But I'd probably simpler to have a role that's named, you know, what the person does. And naming roles, of course, is completely ad hoc. You can call it whatever name you like to. Are there any questions or things that people like to look at?
Scott, you might want to mention a little bit about, getting assistance from EBSCO to push down these permission sets that you're creating, the role sets, I should say, because you don't want to do this 62 times.
Correct. And Amelia, you had a question?
So after you did the initial migration, before you created any of these roles manually, those system generated roles, have you found, are those roughly one to one with pre-existing permission sets that you had before the upgrade? Or I know in our testing, there's been some inconsistencies where a role will have kind of a strange grouping of capabilities or capability sets assigned that doesn't really line up with like a role that we had previously. But it seems like in general, the roles still do meet that initial requirement of like people can just jump in and do their work. But have you had do you know if there is a pattern to how those are assembled at migration?
Well, there's a script they use in the migration, and for the staging server we have, it seemed like if they had two permission sets or more, it made a unique role from it. The way to think about it is this, if it's not one standard permission set that's named, then it's making a role from that. What we're seeing in the dry run, I think they're using a better script, is two or more named permissions work okay, but individual permission sets are ones that were just added in. I'm sorry, individual permissions. I should be clear on that. It's making a role from that. So you may have, and I was seeing this yesterday in some of our users, they had the cataloger circulation role assigned, and then they, excuse me, like over here, go back to our permission sets and roles, is they may have had the cataloger and circulation sets assigned, but they had some individual permissions. And those individual permissions into a role. So a lot of the hashtags are from individual users and what they've done. I think if everyone had like the MCO admin role or the circulation role and had only that, then that would be what they would use. But it's where they've had customization, I think, is where you see the hashtags. And you'd probably the approach would probably be best to look at each of these hashtags, see what they're assigned to. Be wary of using them with system users. There might be something to follow up with EBSCO about to see if those can be renamed, I believe, but not delete them. But if you have a user as two or one named permission sets and a hashtag, you can check what's in that hashtag or hashed role and see what's in there, what functions they had, and maybe add to the existing roles. So the cleanup process, we're looking at probably being kind of slow and gradual rather than trying dramatic and short term. What Steve was talking about with migrating down permission sets is originally we could create permission sets in the consortium. Let me go here. This is a truncated version of our, here we go. This is a truncated version of our server. It has about maybe seven of them for testing. The full one has 62. So in the central tenant, we could make permission sets, but EBSCO had to push them down for us. Here, for the first time, excuse me one second. To clear my throat. Here we can go ahead and migrate down the permission set, which is simply controlled. And so we don't have to rely on EBSCO to do this. Also, locally, they can't edit it. And I think you can see when I was testing earlier, these are the ones we're using. And again, I haven't been consistent in the naming strategy, but super user, standard user. And if I look at the super user, and of course, I'm the only one using it. But centrally managed, and you see the capability sets and capabilities we had. And that was when I was testing with, I think before the dry run. And so this is advantageous to us. Of course, if you're not in a central and easy environment, you basically have the permission set you create. Your experience without that would be more like an individual tenant. But this is going to help us a lot having one that is one they can't edit. They can definitely copy what they want to. They can definitely make changes from a copy. But at least we can maintain the central version correctly and update it with new releases as they happen. And the way we do these is I think we would go ahead and take a role in the central tenant, select the members it belongs to, and then assign it down. And so I'm a little wary of doing it right now because we're still actually using the staging server for some things. But you kind of see that we can select members for a role. Let me go here for this one. So this is where it's assigned to for this particular permission, this particular role. And again, we can edit, duplicate, or delete it. We also assign, and it's at this, the assignments right now are for the central tenant, but locally they can assign as they need to. It gets pushed down locally aside who's assigned to. And I believe I could from here go into each of the tenant selections, which are here, and select those to go ahead and add people to them. However, this is more the library's choice how they want to use them. But the central control is going to be a big benefit for us once we start using it. For the migrations, let me see if I can find one here that'd be worth a good one to exam good example is okay. This is not centrally managed. This role is created. Let me actually look at one of ours. So I will look at okay. So look at me and the role that I have. And I have the admin role, which is the EBSCO admin. And this is in the central tenant. So in this tenant, I'm not assigned to that. And I can either assign it here or under the authorization to change it over. Trying to find a good example one that has the trying to find a good example one that has the hashtags on there. So let me go back to where I was. Okay. And what I'm looking for here is a permissions tester. So I'm not going to this role that someone would be using. So I can check this one here. I'm sorry if I'm bouncing around too much. This is what I was talking about. This is circulation, and there's a hashtag role assigned to it. So if I want to, I can modify or assign these roles, or I can look at this one and see what it is. I'm sorry, let me get this out of the way. We can search here, see what this role was. It's assigned to our permissions tester role, our user, I mean. And it has task list. So these are probably individual permissions for doing tasks that were assigned there for whatever reason. So I could note these, add them into the circ role, rename this and call it tasks, or I could delete it. That seems to be kind of how it's happening with the migration.
Scott, you might want to just mention real quick from your drop down, like what, why you're look, why you, what we are, we log into the central tenant and how you're able to bounce around. You showed it there in the settings, but in the top right, how you can bounce around from tenant to tenant.
Yeah, so this is for the ECS environment. So look at two things is one, consortium manager lets you work with these things, the policies, roles, some circulation, inventory settings, some user settings. So this is where I can do everything from the tenant, but if I need to move into another tenant, I can by switching around. And we're doing this all day long in our office. And this is because I was in consortium manager. There's not one in this tenant, so that's why I'm showing no permission there. Let me go to the inventory. And again, this is a staging server. Some of the data is several months old, but we use it for testing with OpenRS and for other things. So now I'm in the Cavalry University server and our tenant, I'm sorry. And if I pull myself up, so this is a fake user for requesting, And this is a user here that is for the work I'm doing. This is what the law as I'm logged in right now. And you kind of see, I may have been testing with too many things here, but we have one hashtag role. We have the various other roles here. And I really should only need just the super user one. So I'd probably change up. This is my shadow user. And we can tell the shadow users because of the naming. This is my username here, and there's an appendage there to make it unique. And this is something we see all the time. So when we log into the central tenant, it creates a shadow account. It also shows how many affiliations we want to make. So in this case, we're affiliated with all of them, so we can switch around as needed. It does make maintenance and work very fast. Let me go check what this role here was, this hashtag one. So this is locally. So again, I'm going over into the roles. Let's see what this one is for. It's generated during the migration. Quite a few people are using it. Sorry there. This one could have been a named version of an older permission set. This is something we may have to be dealing with on our end because as we migrated permission sets down, with EBSCO, they weren't centrally controlled. People could edit them and update them. And the script was probably saying, wait a minute, this is a different set than this other one, so I'll make it a unique hashtag. This looks like our site coordinator set. So this is something we probably affect us or the libraries. But again, if you have permission sets and they were named the same, but they differ, where somebody edited them, but still had the same name, that would happen in our case, in your case. It probably shouldn't happen if you're not an ECS library because if they add permissions, they're really changing the set for everyone. So this is one that if it's showing up in our live server, we'd probably eventually clean up and remove because it duplicates the other authorization roles. We go back into the central tenant. And designates the central one as primary. And so since I was in the roles in the previous one, I go back to the roles in this one. This replicate it copies where you were in the last step, unless it's not available in the tenant like it was in the consortium manager. And the central tenant is for our office. It doesn't really do too much work where we manage things, and we're actually most of our instance records live and they're copied into the subtenants has a I believe it's a shadow type of shadow record. And that means that people can work with them with permissions, they can edit them, and they can go ahead and view things in the inventory. And that's really where the shadow records mostly come to effect. We are doing it differently, is that rather than they have a, like for instance, a Cavalry user has a user, they have a shadow user in Mobius, but they receive it or use it because we're limited permissions. We start out in the central tenant and have full permissions in all of them so we can switch around as we need to. Okay. So, any questions here at this point or things you'd like to see, comments?
I'll just say that your explanation of how these like hash named roles are created makes a lot of sense for why we ended up with so many in our environment, because I think we took a very different approach to permissions from a lot of other institutions. And so instead of having like a circulation desk permission, we had it broken up by app to begin with. And so a lot of people had different combinations of those smaller chunked permissions. So that makes a lot of sense that we would end up with so many of these different
Well,
combinations. Yeah.
that's inf that does happen if you're doing it that way. However, not all approaches are the, there's different approaches, not all the right one. It's the right one for the situation. So if you do need to have additional permissions or if you're doing things unique to your system or your library, you can definitely do that. What we're doing is probably work best for us. And again, hopefully having the libraries choose to use more of these two roles we're creating, plus the circ worker role would be a benefit to them. They can go ahead and create any time and they want to in our libraries, but I would say for the cleanup afterwards, just gradual and careful would be the best approach. If you go through and say, well, I don't want any of these hashtag permissions and delete them, that could cause problems. But if you eventually take a more granular approach, being careful how you edit them, it would help before you migrate to note the permissions that you have and use. And if you have time, probably note what permission sets are in use by your various users. You can't see they don't copy. So you can say, before the migration, these users use these sets. Now I'm seeing these different sets. And if you do want to change, you can say, okay, before the migration, they were a circ manager or they were a acquisitions worker. And you see additional sets that, don't make much sense or they're hashtags. You can just go back to your notes, edit them, and change them as needed. Okay.
Thank you for presenting on this. This has been
Sure.
really great.
Sure, you're welcome. I'm glad to
Does
help.
anyone else have questions?
Would there be any interest in me trying to take the applications that are showing here in the test server or the snapshot server and convert those into tables? Or would they be more like what you see right now would be helpful?
So what we've done is we've extracted the data kind of similarly to how you have, although we've been manipulating it in a database as opposed to using spreadsheets. So I guess for our institution, I don't think we would use that, but I could see it being helpful if
Okay.
other institutions had interest.
Well, if there is, I could, as time permits, add more. I will copy the current sheets we have into the chat. And again, one is basically just everything is in the applications we use, and one is the approach we have. And these are like FYI material. If you want to use them, you're welcome to. Okay. If there's no further questions, we could end early or discuss more about authorizations, whichever people would prefer.
Sounds like there isn't a lot of discussion to be had right now. I think it would be all right to end early. I do want to say, actually, for the whole group, we are still looking for folks to prioritize users' features. So if folks can go to the UM gap list page, I think we fixed it so that the Jira filter should be displaying correctly. But if folks could look through the features showing up in that filter, and just add the one vote per institution to indicate that something is a priority for your institution. That way we can have a better idea of what to put on the agenda instead of me just picking tickets kind of at random.
Okay.
Just a reminder to everyone to go vote on those.
Okay, sure. I'll go and stop sharing my screen. I'll put my email address down below if anyone has any further questions. Okay. And thank you, everyone, for your time today.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Scott.
Have a good day.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.